The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right above Alto Forno Restaurant and right across the dirt pit that's next to North Shore Mall. If you haven't been over there, man, it's a bit of a mess. Man, there's a lot of dirt, a lot of stones and gravel getting moved around over there, but the ultimate goal of what it's going to look like is going to be absolutely amazing. Just to the right of that, of course, remains still a tent, the Big Apple Circus, still in town for a week or two more. I happened to see the circus this past week. Great, great show. Really had a good time at it. Got to bring the whole office. We made it an office event, so if you haven't been to the Big Apple Circus, I'd strongly encourage you to do so. Here's some financial advice in a language you can understand. Buy the cheapest ticket you can buy online and then move down. It's just like, you know, going to a lousy a baseball team that's lousy where, you know, only half the people show up to the stadium. It's about 50% full inside that tent, folks, so you don't need to buy the highest price ticket. If I were you, buy the cheap seats and move on down. But the show is really fabulous. Doesn't really matter where you sit underneath that tent. You're going to get a great show, and they do a really, really nice job. As my producer Jay said, it was tasteful. Jay, you went and you brought the kids, right?
It was. I did, yeah. And I was surprised at actually how intimate the actual tent was, because I'm thinking like music theater, like it's in the round, but it was smaller, much, much smaller than the music theater.
Well, when you drive by that tent...
The tent does not look big on the outside.
Where are they putting all these people and all of these characters and performers? It does fit. It does work. And it is intimate. Good word for that, Jay. Yep. It is nice and close. So, like, my advice is buy the cheap seats and move on down. Enjoy the circus. But I hope you're enjoying this updated spring weather. I mean, it's finally coming around. Hopefully the rain is subsiding and we got better weather ahead. The leaves are popping on the trees. The flowers are in bloom. Buds on the ends of those branches, and it's almost time to cut the grass. I mean, I see landscapers that are out there. They're starting to edge the beds, do the spring cleanups. Hey, I love this time of year. I really do. As I've been waiting for this to happen all winter long. We brought the furniture from our shed out towards around the pool. Now the pool isn't open yet. Next week the pool opens.
Come on, you gotta open it up.
No, we got the date, Jay. We got the date. It's coming. Pool is opening.
All listeners are invited.
That's right. You're all welcome. Big party at my house. And but we have this little waterfall out back, a pond and a waterfall.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So they set that up last week. So wow. I can hear the trickle of the waterfall.
Uh-huh.
And so I know it's coming. It's coming. I can't wait to use my backyard.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been in my new house for about a year now, and it's not a new house. I bought the house. It was new to me. Like, that's the
worst.
You know, used house. It was new to me. It was actually my best friend's house. So I
No way.
Yeah.
So you knew the house, like the ins and outs.
I've been in that house. My daughter, I think, has slept in their bedroom, in the one of the bedrooms there, I think, more than she did in her own house.
Wow.
But,
that's cool.
Yeah. So my friends moved into Boston. Their kids are now grown and gone.
Mm-hmm.
So they moved into Boston, and they were about to put their house on the up for sale. And I said, I'm interested. And he goes, really? And I mean, they couldn't be happier that
yeah.
people that they know are moving into their house.
Absolutely. And, so they can still visit.
They can still visit, and it's all good. And so it's just very happy in the new house. Anyways, we are here to provide you with some financial advice in a language you can understand. We do that each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. I've been doing this almost 7 years on the radio, I think. I don't know, 6, 8, 7 years. It's a lot of years that I've been doing it. And we do it right here from the Treetop Studios, right on Enon Street here in Beverly. I got a lot of things that I could talk about today. I just haven't decided which order I'm going to talk about them. But I will start with this. For the 20th year, Friedman Financial has delivered a scholarship to a graduating senior who has plans to attend some institute of higher learning. And this past week, we awarded our scholarship, our 20th scholarship. And people apply for it. We post it up in our newsletter. If you're interested in our scholarship and you want to get the information on how you can apply for next year, I'd encourage you to sign up for our newsletter, because this is how people know about the scholarship. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. At the bottom of every page on my website, you'll see an item that says sign up for planning pointers. If you do that, you put in your name, your email address, and you get our free weekly newsletter that comes out every Friday at 10:30, lands in your inbox. We've had over 550 consecutive issues of that newsletter land there every Friday at 10:30. But early in every year, we announce our scholarship, which my dad and I started back in 1999, hard to believe. So we just celebrated our 20th anniversary of it. It's a $1,000 scholarship. What you need to do is you need to just fill in, tell us about your academic record, tell us about your extracurricular activities, and answer the same question that we've been using for 20 years now. What does financial responsibility mean to you? And in 500 words or less, I don't need a book on it. Keep it short, keep it simple. And I will tell you, the person that won this year didn't write 499 or 500 words.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's, you know, you write what's appropriate. If you can write concise, I think maybe it was three. I don't really count the words, to tell you the truth, but it was shorter than some of the other essays that we received. And so I wanted to let you know that I wanted to announce our winner here on the radio. Now, he knows that he won already, of course, and it was in our newsletter this week announcing it. But the gentleman that won our 2019 scholarship is Andrew Zipper from Salem, Massachusetts. Andrew was very excited to receive it. He sent us a great picture that we used and posted in our newsletter. It's now up on a blog. And so I thought I'd take a moment and share Andrew's essay. Because here's what ends up happening. I'll walk you through the process of how we decide who's going to win this. So we get a collection of applications that are usually due around the 31st of March. And then we put together what we call a scholarship committee that's made up of a few of our clients in the office. Different clients become part of that committee every year. I'm far removed from it. I don't even get involved. My assistant, Jody, removes any type of mention of their name, where they're from, any connection to any people. So they're purely blank people. There's applicant A, B, C, D, E, or whatever it is, the number of applicants we get. So the committee sits in the room and they read first all of the essays for each of the candidates. Don't look at the academic record. Don't look at the extracurricular stuff. Just read the essay. And each person, each committee member gets to select their two favorite essays. And if you're of the two favorite essays that you selected, you can be certain that those two people will be included in the next round. So, you know, some people will pick the same essays, of course, but if nobody picked your essay as the favorite, you don't make it to the second round. And so we had a collection of those that make it now to the second round, and then they go through the academics and they go through the extracurricular and they discuss and they debate, and we always have an odd number of committee members so that we come up with a vote. And I will tell you, this year, the committee was split 3-2. So there was five committee members, and Andrew won. And so what I thought I would do is read you his essay. But maybe I will hold off, because I know we've got to take a quick break. I'll fill you in on a couple other things that are going on for the rest of the show today. I want to talk to you a little bit about protecting yourself from fraud. There was a nice story that appeared in that AARP posted on a guide to protecting yourself from fraud. We're going to talk about this. And the other thing I want to talk to you about is what else you should be expecting from a financial planner. I've been getting this question a lot from a lot of people that are coming to visit with us, people that call us after listening to the show, and they find out that what I talk about on the radio and what we really do in our office becomes, surprisingly to them, far more than what they're getting from their investment professional that they work with right now. And they ask me, Mark, my investment guy says he's a financial planner. You say you're a financial planner, but it sounds like you guys do so much more than what my investment guy does. Can you help me understand that and why that happens? We're going to do that. We're going to talk about the identity theft stuff, and I'm going to read you Andrew's essay, which is the answer to the question, what does financial responsibility mean to me? When we get back, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2019 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
You know, most college kids don't even have anything near to $1 million, but they hope someday that they just may. And my name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about our recent scholarship winner. We put out a scholarship each year, $1,000 scholarship to somebody who's graduating high school, has expectations to go off to college or some institution of higher learning. And our scholarship committee at our office selected Andrew Zipper this year from Salem, Massachusetts, as our winner. And one of the questions that actually there's only one question on the application, one essay question, and it is, what does financial responsibility mean to you? And I thought, you know, as young people are always having these aspirations of making money and having a financial future and security for themselves, sometimes they have to kind of look back and they have to reflect on their existing life, the life they've had so far, and see how has finances impacted my life. And so what I thought I would do is share with you the essay that Andrew wrote and all the other applications submitted essays as well. They were all very, very well done. Andrew, and you also had to submit an academic record, extracurricular activity, but this was Andrew's essay, and I'll read it to you. This is What Does Financial Responsibility Mean to Me by Andrew Zipper. One who is responsible takes accountability for his actions, acts independently, and maintains control. As I graduate high school and embark on adulthood, I'm quickly finding that, as my parents warned, many responsibilities will loom ahead. One of the most daunting yet important is financial responsibility. My choices and actions now have long-reaching effects on the rest of my life and those around me. I must look ahead to the future and my goals while tempering this with my ability to meet my financial obligations. So many things in our society have a large price tag. For me, this begins with college education. I feel that I must find a program in a school environment that will prepare me for my future endeavors while also not having an excessive price tag. To ensure that I've been financially responsible, I have researched different schools, applied myself to my studies, and to earn merit scholarships. I've also begun applying for outside scholarships. Upon graduation, I must repay outstanding loans while also incurring cost of living expenses and beginning to save. While all of this planning can seem overwhelming, I'm trying to find ways to put away small amounts to save and avoid silly expenses. This has to be done through planning and prioritization. Planning for small expenses in addition to larger ones, such as tuition and living expenses, is essential. I must also decide what's important to me and learn to avoid impulsive expenses. I know that being young, temptations for gadgets and entertainment will be high, but I must adhere to a budget. I plan to discipline myself, keeping in mind the larger picture. One strategy I plan to employ is avoiding opening lines of credit, even if they're lured by discounts. Too often, having this spending power at one's fingertips can lead to accumulating debt. However, I know that if I work additional hours, I can enjoy some small splurges and enjoy varied experiences. I know that my future career, while personally fulfilling and important for society, does not have a large paycheck attached to it. I realize that I must educate myself about investments and savings plans as a young adult. As I watch my parents planning for their retirement and care of their parents, I realize that long-range planning is very important. I must be sure to be saving and protecting finances in case of emergencies and unexpected expenses. At my young age, financial responsibility is simple as I must avoid spending beyond my meager means and begin saving wherever I can. As I graduate from college and begin my adult life, financial responsibility will include paying off necessary debt and becoming educated on the various saving and investment plans that will allow me to plan for my future. Exercising financial responsibility while young will allow me to enjoy my adult years for the rest of my life. That was the essay that was submitted by Andrew Zipper, our award winner of a scholarship, $1,000 this year. And I wanted to wish him a congratulations to his parents, to his grandparents, and everybody else that knows Andrew, wishing him all the very best. I'm trying to think to myself, where is Andrew going to college? Everyone's going to be asking me that question. And I feel terrible. I don't remember. But wherever he goes, I'm sure he will be a tremendous success in whatever he does. So thank you, Andrew, for that. Hey, I wanted to also talk to you a little bit about some answers to some questions people get from us about what is it that we do beyond investing. You know, when you think about working with a financial advisor, you're generally thinking to yourself, I got to deal with investments. Maybe they can set up a 401k for me. Maybe they can help me open up a Roth or an IRA or help me pursue a long-term savings or investment strategy. Yeah, that's stuff a financial advisor can do. But I will tell you, folks, that is stuff that they do, but that's the easiest part of the job. Now, they'll make it sound really complicated. They really will. But it's not. It's really, really easy. The hardest thing is to be committed and disciplined with the plan. Think about this. You can go right now to E-Trade or any of these online investment firms or stock brokerage firms or wherever it is. You can set up an investment account for yourself. But if you run the temptation of making changes based upon the news you see on the radio, news you see on the television, you don't see news on the radio, the news you hear on the radio, stuff you see on your phone or through social media, that's when you begin to have trouble. You have to remain disciplined. And a good financial advisor will keep you focused on the discipline of investing, but they'll also give you the advice on everything else that impacts your financial life. So I want you to think about this. If you were to say, what is the number one thing I would hope to get from a financial advisor when I turn 60 years old? Let's say 60 years old. That's what, let's call it 5 years from the day you're going to retire. You probably have a lot of questions. You got 5 years when you know all of a sudden that paycheck might stop. And you've been accumulating all this money, and mom and dad, who are maybe 20 or 30 years older than you, they're starting to feel the ill effects of aging. You've got some young children. Perhaps they're still in school or in college, or perhaps they're newly married, and you're at 60 years old. And are you thinking about, wow, I wonder how my XYZ mutual fund's going to do this week? What is it that you really want to try to figure out when you're 60 years old? Generally, what people tell me is they say, Mark, the number one thing I need is to get my financial house in order. Chances are that you have stuff scattered everywhere. You've got a few different bank accounts. You've got a 401k at work, but maybe you have an old one or several older ones with previous employers. Maybe you're entitled to a pension. Maybe you don't know whether you're entitled to a pension. Maybe your spouse has a different retirement plan than you do. Maybe you are expecting an inheritance. Maybe you have a personal investment plan. Maybe you've bought insurance, an annuity. Maybe you have real estate that you own. All sorts of different things. And now all of a sudden, you're not going to get that regular paycheck coming from work anymore in 5 years. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, do I have enough? And what am I going to do? That's scary. That's bigger than scary. That's not something that you say, oh, we'll just figure that out tomorrow, or we'll just roll with the punches. One of the things that happens as we get older is not only does our lifestyle change a little bit, but so too does our health. And I'm sure as you're listening to this radio show, you can think of somebody whose health unexpectedly changed over the past year. We all know somebody. Somebody who had great aspirations for what they were going to do. It seemed like their trajectory was going just fine, and then something happened within their family, maybe to them or somebody within their family, that has put a detour on their plans. And the biggest thing they worry about is, how will my finances be impacted because of this detour? Do I have the right protections in place? Will my family be taken care of? Have I guarded for all of that? Now, the solution, sometimes people will think, well, that's just an insurance option that you could have bought. Well, it's too late now if you're already sick. When you get ill, when you already have that health problem, you can't say, oh, now I think I might like to buy long-term care insurance, or now I'd like to buy disability or life insurance. No, the insurance companies aren't going to offer that to you now. Why would they? Why would they take that risk on you? Remember, insurance companies are in the business of managing risk. And they manage risk so that they remain profitable. That's how that works. Oftentimes you'll hear people talk about buying insurance and things like that at a younger age when evidence of insurability is pretty clear. You don't have much of a health risk. But as you get older, there may be health risks. So that's one way to make sure that your financial house stays in order, is making sure that you have the proper insurance in place to protect for now and then. And whenever. Sometimes you need it and sometimes you don't. You know, a lot of people buy life insurance. I love this. People will say, well, I bought years and years ago, Mark, I bought this life insurance policy. It's worth $10,000 or $15,000 as a death benefit. And they're 75 years old. And I say, why do you continue to keep this life insurance policy? And they go, well, I need it to bury me. I need it to bury me. Well, is that the right answer these days? Maybe that worked 30, 50, 70 years ago. But today, death works a little bit differently. When you die, the funeral director, well, he doesn't talk to you, you're dead. He talks to your family, your spouse, whomever. The funeral director isn't willing to be patient anymore to be paid. You can't say, oh, well, my dad had a life insurance policy designed to pay for the funeral or to bury him. When the money comes due, we'll write you the check, or just bill us and we'll send you the check. No, 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 no. That's not how that works anymore. Funeral directors want to get paid. The cemetery wants to get paid. The restaurant where you host your event afterwards, your celebration of life, whatever it is you want to call it, they want to get paid. They're not waiting for the life insurance money. And in most cases, chances are, you didn't need the life insurance in the first place, at least at that point in your life. Remember, years ago, 30, 40, 50 years ago, when someone died, what did they have? They had maybe $1,000 or $2 in the bank. They had a house that was worth $29,900 or $39,900. They had a pension from the company that they worked for, and they had Social Security. And when they died, the pension stopped, Social Security stopped. There was the house that remained empty, and a couple thousand dollars, certainly not enough to pay for a funeral. Thus, we needed the life insurance policy to bury you. That's not the case anymore, is it? We don't live like that anymore. We have assets. We have assets in the bank. We have assets in investment accounts. We have assets in retirement accounts. Now, we don't have pensions like we did before. We also have homes that are worth far more, far, far more than what homes were worth years ago. And interestingly enough, many retirees still think to themselves, well, let's say I have $500,000 in investable assets, investment and retirement assets in retirement. And they think, oh, I only want to live off the interest. I don't want to touch the principal. To me, that's kind of like an old school way of thinking. And the reason is you wanted to live off the interest and protect the principal because you wanted to have something to pass on to the next generation. Well, think about this. Your home is likely worth as much as your investment account in some cases. So not only are you passing on the value of your investment in retirement accounts, you may also be passing on the value of your home. And that's a lot of money to pass on to the next generation. And instead, you were potentially shortchanging yourself because you didn't know how to take money from the assets that you had to support your life in retirement. We see this all the time. People shortchanging their own retirement and then leaving an enormous amount of money to the next generation. And I assure you of this, because we average 1.5 deaths a month in my office. We started the firm back in 1968. People get older, right? I can tell you how the kids react to this money. They don't take the same level of care and discipline as you did with it. Now, some might. But chances are, even if you have 3 kids that you're leaving it to, each one of those children will handle that money, their share, differently. Many of them see that money as an opportunity to pay off their mortgage, buy a car, buy a boat, go on a vacation, whatever it might be. But they're not saving it and using the resource as carefully as you were because it was your money. To them, it's new money. They'll be more careful with the china that you've left to them than they will with the money that you've left to them. Because the china has sentimental value. The money, for whatever reason, is just money. And it's interesting to think of it that way. So when you're trying to get your financial house in order, you need to make sure that you know where everything is and what everything is worth. Not just your investment account, but everything. The cash value of your life insurance, the money that you have in the bank, the value of your home, the value of any rental property that you have. Maybe you have a summer place up at the lake. Maybe you've got a car. Maybe you've got an IRA, an old 401k, whatever it is. Someone has to help you put together that net worth statement that says, this is what I'm worth right now. And when you have that in front of you, that is the first step to understanding what your financial house looks like. The next part is understanding what you really need. What are you going to spend? How are you going to spend that money? How much do you have coming in and how much do you need that's going out? We call that cash flow planning. And that's a critical component to work with your financial advisor, not just picking the ABC mutual fund, whether it's large cap or small cap. That's the easy part, folks. Your financial advisor has to help you understand and make certain that you understand how much money you need to support your life. Because I don't care how quickly or how slowly your investment account grows, if there's not an ability for you to draw income from it to support what you need in retirement, what's the point of your investment portfolio? It has to be designed for a reason. And that investment portfolio is generally just one part of your overall financial picture. Perhaps you'll get Social Security. Perhaps you'll get a pension. Perhaps you'll have to take minimum distributions from your IRAs or your retirement accounts. Perhaps you'll have an annuity. Perhaps you have to take money from your investment accounts. But if you don't know where it all is and what's flowing into your house and what you need to spend in your month-to-month, day-to-day activities, you're in trouble. And that is an exercise that you must do with your financial advisor. It's something that we do every day. And it's the first part of what we do before we ever take any money under management. Because that, my friends, is part of putting your financial life in order, getting your financial house in order. And that is some financial advice in a language you can understand. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to talk more about this getting your financial house in order stuff, because there's so much that you have to do, so much to be responsible for, so much that will impact your life, and you got to get it right. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Oh, what a night. Hi, it's Bill Haney, owner of the North Shore Music Theater. 2019 will be my 10th season producing shows, and what a great season we have planned.
The season opens with a high-stepping, beloved classic musical, Oklahoma. Next up, it's Disney's new musical version of the hysterical movie, Freaky Friday. Then join us for the hottest ticket of the summer, Jersey Boys. The 2019 season continues with Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical masterpiece, Sunset Boulevard. The season will close with the area's premiere of The Bodyguard, featuring more than 15 hit songs made famous by Whitney Houston. You won't want to miss a single show in 2019.
I got a funny feeling when she walks.
To join us for a show, visit nsmt.org.
All right, so you've seen your financial accounts go up this quarter, right? You've had a great year. So far, you're thinking, wow, this is awesome. Look how much money I've just made over the past 3 or 4 months. It's been good. But will it continue? Will it continue? Should you be making investment decisions based upon how good the market has been this year? No, don't do that. Remember how bad things were or how bad things felt in the fourth quarter of 2018? How'd you feel then? Are you feeling like you did now? No. And so remember, as you're building your portfolio, as you're structuring your investment account, as you're building to prepare for your financial life, my advice to you is don't make any drastic moves. Make sure that your investment portfolio is structured properly, that you're rebalancing appropriately, and that you're taking the advice from a certified financial planner. My name is Mark Friedman, and you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We're here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. right here in the treetop studios of North Shore 104.9, overlooking the North Beverly train station. It's springtime, folks. It is time. Baseball is in fashion. Celtics are playing. Bruins are playing. Everybody's busy. Everybody's in the game right now. And the Patriots, well, you know, hey, we're still celebrating their Super Bowl victory, and we're wondering what will this team look like next year. But for now, if you want to participate in these major league sports, and if you want to go to these games, you know what you need? Money. That is right. It costs money to go to these games. And the best way that you can afford these experiences, and that's what they really are, their experiences, is you want to make sure that your financial house is in order. And so that's what I'm here to help you do today. Give you some advice to get your financial house in order. And it's far more important than worrying about what your investment portfolio continues to do on a day-to-day basis. You've got to get it right. So one of the things that I talk about oftentimes, and I'm using this as my reference sheet today on the show, is a report that we put out. It says, What to expect from Friedman Financial, getting your financial house in order. It's on our website. Go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. If you go to the drop-down menu, if you want to learn more about Friedman Financial, you'll see this drop-down piece. It's a PDF. It's one pager. It's a nice little graphic that talks about the various things that we will be covering as part of the relationship with you. And what you'll find out is that investment planning is just one of the seven categories that we'll be giving you guidance on an ongoing basis if you decide to work with us. And if you would like to work with us, you can give our office a call, 978-531-8108. You can leave a message on the machine today. No one is there. It's Sunday. We'll certainly get back to you. Or you can drop us an email at Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. And you can ask for us to send you some information. You want to talk to me first. You want to have a brief conversation. I probably talk to 2 or 3 people a week who listen to this show, new people that call in, that have a question or two. They're curious about something. Sometimes they want to work with us. Sometimes they just have a basic question. And you know what? As a service to the community, I try to make myself available just to answer that question for you. So if that's what's just pending and you just want to bounce something off me, give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. 8108. No, I'm not just going to send you a bill for my time on the phone or anything like that. Just call. If you want to come in for an initial consultation, that is no cost either. We'll sit for an hour or so. We'll talk. We'll learn a little bit about your situation. If you feel like a relationship with our office is something you'd like to pursue, we can go through all of our costs and fees and all that kind of stuff and make sure that it makes sense for all of us. That sounds fair. We'd love to work with you. But in the interim, here we are on the radio this Sunday morning trying to give you some financial advice in a language you can understand. So the seven categories that we focus our time on when we're working with clients, and I understand these seven categories can be more focused in some years and less focused on others. Here are the seven categories. Net worth and cash flow planning, meaning do we know where everything is and what everything is worth? And do you know where the money's going and how much money is coming into your household? Number two is risk management planning. Risk management planning takes care of all of the things like everything that's in your benefits booklet at work. Are you taking advantage of the health insurance, the dental plan that's available, the ability to buy stock at a discount in your company? Maybe there's a life insurance or a disability option. Also, maybe you'll want to look at long-term care strategies, or maybe you want to buy personal life insurance or disability insurance, or you want someone to review it. That's an area of risk management. The third is investment planning. Investment planning starts with the development and construction of your portfolio by understanding your goals and objectives. Then there's asset allocation and accumulation strategies. But most importantly, and this is one thing that maybe I'll talk about a little later, is cost basis. What did you pay for your securities? What did you pay for things so that when you sell them, will you be reporting the gains properly? Do you understand stock options? Maybe you have that at work. You'll need some guidance there. Maybe you need to consolidate your portfolio because you have assets all over the place. You have 401ks in several different places, 403bs or 457s or SEPs or simples or whatever it might be. And maybe you need some help consolidating that. Then we'll focus on retirement planning. First thing we got to be sure that we understand is understanding what are those goals. Just to say, I want to retire at 66 is not a goal. Well, it is a goal, but it's not a very specific goal. After 66, what does that mean? What does it mean to retire? Think about that question. What does it mean to retire? I think if you asked somebody that question 30, 35 years ago, what does it mean to retire? I think you'd get a very different answer. Retirement meant back then, announcing my retirement at work after being there for 40 years, going to a retirement party where I get a nice gold watch, then my spouse and I hop on the Love Boat, travel off on the Lido deck, off to Acapulco. We throw the beads and the ribbons off to the kids who send us bon voyage. We come back home. We settle into our condo or in our apartment, and we just enjoy hanging out with the grandkids and playing canasta and bridge. And then we die. That was it, right? I mean, did I just describe your grandparents or your parents? I think I just did. And that's why the Love Boat was so successful in the 80s, because they knew that's what you wanted. Oh, periodically, you'd have the opportunity to go see a show. Maybe you'd see a show in Broadway. Maybe you'd see a show here, but that was the big night out. And did you get dressed up for that show? Well, retirement's a lot different these days, isn't it? If people say they want to retire at 66, that oftentimes means I want to retire from my present job. It doesn't mean I'm done. Retirement often means like I want to do something different. There's a gentleman by the name of Mark Friedman, not me. He spells his name exactly like me. I know who he is. I know him well. He lives out in San Francisco. He's about 15 years older than I am, and he's developed this term that's called an encore career. In fact, if you pick up the Wall Street Journal, there's a section periodically that's called Encore that really embraces what Mark has developed over these years. And it's that many people say, you know, I worked for a while. Now I want to do what I'd love to do. And maybe that's working for a not-for-profit. Maybe it's working, working at a golf course somewhere. Maybe it's being a deckhand on the Salem Ferry. I don't know whatever it is that you want to do where you can just interact with people and not feel the responsibility or be burdened by having to manage other people or working for somebody else. That might be what you want to do. But I will tell you what retirement looks like today is far different what the retirement picture looked like 30 years ago. And so when we're doing retirement planning, we really need to understand your goals, and we need to recognize the fact that your goals are going to change. They will. They'll adapt, and we'll need to be prepared for it. Also in retirement planning, we need to understand, when's the right time to take Social Security? What is Medicare? What are the options you should be taking? Are you getting guidance in that area from your financial advisor? What I'm talking about with you right now is all of the various things that Friedman Financial, as certified financial planners, as advisors, we provide this advice and guidance to our clients. It goes far beyond just picking an investment strategy for you. Yes, we do that, but that's just one piece in the financial planning pie. More things under retirement planning that happens. Look, you're going to turn 70 and a half at some point. You've heard about this thing called the required minimum distribution. Do you know what that means? Do you know how to take the money? Do you know how much tax to withhold? Do you know what the penalties would be for not taking it? Do you know what happens if you die and you have to pass that IRA off to your spouse or off to your kids and what the tax liability will be? We want to be sure that you understand that. You got to look at all of the strategies that are available to give you the income that you need to support your life in retirement. Perhaps you have some employer-sponsored plans, like a pension plan that might be available. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you're a police officer or a firefighter, and you're faced with having to make some pension decisions. Do you take option A, option B, option C, or any of the other options that are presented to you? How do you choose what's right? Because many of those decisions, when you make a pension decision, that, my friends, is irrevocable. Not revocable or revocable. It is irrevocable or irrevocable, meaning you can't change it. You made the decision, you're done. I'll tell you the story. I think I've told this 100 times on this radio show. We had a client of ours who was a teacher here on the North Shore. He decided to choose, actually, his wife became a client. He was not a client at the time. He was about to retire from school, submitted in his paperwork, selected the option A, which is the life-only pension as a teacher, which would pay him the largest amount every month. He'd get more than any of the other options. But when he died, his spouse would get nothing. And so he went ahead and submitted all of this paperwork, retired, and the day he wakes up the next morning after retiring, goes into the shower, and dies in the shower. He doesn't even collect his first check. And his spouse gets nothing. And she's never worked a day in her life. And she didn't know that that's the option that he selected. Nevertheless, she actually signed off, and she didn't even know it. Because your spouse has to acknowledge the fact that you're taking this life-only option with no protection as a survivor benefit. But she just signed wherever he told her to sign. And she walked away with nothing. Fortunately, they had other assets. But folks, you got to be careful. You got to make sure that you're making a decision, because that decision is irrevocable when it comes to pensions. Next thing we got to look at is taxes. How many of you were surprised with the refund or the payment that you owed come April? Many people were. But if you weren't positioned or well planned for, you were going to be surprised. Now, you may not want to hear this, and not-for-profits don't want to hear me say this, but folks, if you think you're making contributions to the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, your church, the Cancer Walkathon, whatever, and you're going to get a tax deduction for those $100 and $50 and $25, and they tell you it's a tax-deductible donation, you're not getting tax deductions for those things anymore, folks. Because the way the new tax law works, you have a very large, what's called standard deduction. And that standard deduction is, that's given to you whether you make a contribution to the American Heart Association, your local temple, your church, the Girl Scouts, whatever it might be. It's probably going to be far larger. The deduction that's given to you is far larger than the cumulative charitable contributions and everything else that you make. So don't give money to charity for the tax deduction. Give money to charity because it feels good. That's the reason to give. But don't do it for the tax deduction, because that's since long gone. And if you don't understand that, we had a client that we were talking to this past week, and I noticed that he owed a lot of money in taxes. that in April. And I said, you know, how many years have you been owing money like this? He says, man, Mark, every year I owe taxes. And I looked at his pay stub. And years ago, he must have been given guidance by somebody to adjust the withholdings on his pay stub so that he had very little taxes withheld from his pay. And all he needed to do was adjust the withholdings on his pay stub, and he wouldn't have to pay so much in taxes in April. Yeah, he'd get a little bit less take-home pay every pay period, but he'd owe nothing at the end. It's a check and balance system, but nobody had ever given him guidance on that. That's part of the work that a financial planner does when working with you. Like I told you, there will be periods of time in your life where you need to focus on investments, where you'll focus on taxes, you'll focus on retirement, you'll focus on insurance. Focus on cash flow. But if your financial planner isn't prepared to provide you guidance on all of it and has a set of data that allows him to he or she to reflect on this whenever they meet with you, you got a problem. It's time to get serious about your financial planning. You got to get your taxes in order, got to get the estate planning working, got to take care of the next generation and the generation before you. It's your job to be fiscally and financially responsible. And that's how to get your financial house in order. We got to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk to you about how to protect yourself from fraud. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Oh, 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 oh.
Just got paid.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has provided financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore. At Friedman Financial, we know that planning for your retirement is overwhelming. Don't leave this important decision to chance, or even worse, the algorithms of a faceless technology solution. Our certified financial planner professionals meet with you face-to-face to know you and your retirement goals. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, meet with a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in person. You deserve a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your retirement plan. To learn more, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
There are moments in life when it's critical to have the best care possible. When you're living with an advanced illness like cancer, COPD, heart disease, or dementia, you want hospice care that helps make the most of the time that remains. That's Care Dimensions, Massachusetts' premier nonprofit hospice provider. Our hospice palliative care and bereavement programs are known nationally for quality and innovation. Let our experience improve yours. Ask for Care Dimensions by name or visit caredimensions.org.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, just above Alto Forno Restaurant and across from the North Shore Mall, right at Cross Street in Peabody. We've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families living on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and surrounding communities since 1968. No, not me. I was two. My dad started the firm back then, April of 1968. We're in our 51st year, and it's been great. I got to tell you, you know, when you've developed a firm and you've kept it here in the community for so many decades, you get to know so many people, so many families, so many relationships, so many generations. It amazed me just this past week, in fact. Do you know who Billy Diamond is? That name ring a bell to anybody? Billy Diamond is over at Legal Seafoods in Peabody. And Billy has been there, I think it's 26 or 27 years. He started there. He was a waiter there. He's a manager there. Everybody knows Billy Diamond. And they, Legal Seafood, decided to host an event to honor Billy. And I got the privilege of getting an invitation to go there. And there was hundreds of people at this thing at Legal's this past week. And it amazed me how many people I knew that I hadn't seen in 10, 20, 30 years because we've been in this community for so long. People who I went to high school with that are now attorneys and a judge and a police officer and a firefighter and a dentist and a doctor and an auto salesperson or whatever it might be. All these people that we all went to high school with, and we, you know, you just lose sight of each other. And man, it's so quick, though, to pick up those conversations. If you went to high school with them, if you were buddies with them, but you just kind of went your own separate ways. Legal Seafood brought that back together for us this past week. So I want to thank everybody over there for making that, for commemorating Billy and all the work that he's done over at Legals, but also bringing for some friends together who hadn't seen each other in a very long time. It was really nice night out. Anyways, we provide financial advice in a language you can understand each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 right here on North Shore 104.9. We provide a free weekly newsletter that supports a lot of the stuff that we talk about every week along with some new stuff. And if you like our free weekly newsletter, all you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to my website, any page, go to the bottom of any page, and you'll see where you can put in your name, your email address. You want to send me a note, you want to send me a question, go right ahead. I'll be happy to respond to it. I promise you this. We do not use this newsletter sign up thing to cold call you or to invite you to seminars or things like that. No. You've asked to sign up for our newsletter. That is all. You will get our newsletter. If you'd like to reach out to us, I'd love to talk to you. I really would. But we are a mature and established firm. We're not a firm that's desperate for business, that we can't put food on the table for our family or anything like that. We're going to work with people where it makes sense, when it makes sense for us both to work well together. That's how we do it. But if you just have a question, you want to ask me a question, you get something on your mind, and you want to just pick up the phone and say, hey, can I talk to Mark for a second? I'll talk to you. Really, I will. Or drop me an email. You can do that. The number at the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. My email address, personal email address. Here it comes. Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. And you know how the Friedman Financial thing works. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. All right, I want to talk to you about this report that I got from AARP. Yes, I'm old enough to be part of that group. In fact, just this past week, I got an envelope saying your renewal card is here, and it had my name embossed on a card from AARP, and I didn't realize that I signed up to be an AARP, but seems like they really don't care whether they get my membership money or not. They want to keep reminding me that I'm eligible, so I opened up the envelope, I saw the card, I threw the card out. Sorry. Yes, I'm going to be 53 this week, so I guess that makes me eligible for a free donut at Dunkin' Donuts. You know, speaking of that, hey, if you're over 50, hey, you want some financial advice in a language you can understand, go to the website and find out free stuff for people over 50. And you will find that you can go to Dunkin' Donuts. You order a coffee after like 4 o'clock or something, they'll give you a free donut. There's a whole bunch of places that offer you discounts, free stuff, all sorts of things. I have yet to be offered the senior discount at the movie theaters. But then again, I think I've been doing a pretty good job staying away from the movie theaters. I watch most of that stuff at home. Yes, I watched Game of Thrones. That last episode was pretty dark. Like, not like dark, bad dark. I mean, like, you know, uncomfortable dark. It was just dark to look at. I thought maybe I had a problem with my eyesight. But apparently that was everybody's concern. Anyways, yeah, I'm getting away from what I was talking about. Back to this thing of how to protect yourself from fraud. Here's a few things that people need to start doing. Number one, you got to stop keeping statements around. So I get a call a couple weeks ago from a client of ours who said, Mark, we invited an electrician into our house. And I didn't realize it that while he was in the house, we had a bunch of statements on the kitchen table. And we had gone out for a while, and I'm worried that he might have looked at my statements and taken down my account number. And I'm really nervous now. Can I change my account number? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, what would you do? If you had your investment statements out on your kitchen table and an electrician had come over to the house, someone you'd never met before, and maybe you went back up to your room or went to the office or were watching TV, but the electrician was working in the kitchen and all those statements were out, and then you realized after they left, not that you think they did, but you just don't know, how uncomfortable would you be? How prepared would you be? Or what would you know what to do if you wanted to make a change? Well, this client of ours was concerned. And we'll certainly support anybody who's concerned about their safety and security of their accounts. He wanted to have all of his account numbers changed. Yeah, it was some paperwork that was necessary. But if it made him feel okay, and if it helped him sleep better at night, I'm happy to help out with that. But one of the things that you can do is stop keeping your statements around. Do you really need them? Do you really need all these piles of paper statements? Folks, if you want to get the stuff in the mail, fine, look at it and then throw it in a shredder. That's one way to protect your identity. The other thing is you can opt for electronic statements. Everyone's talking about recycling, right? I mean, where can you go without feeling someone's yelling at you because you didn't recycle well enough? I mean, look at all the different types of options you have when you want to go throw something away at the food court these days. There's four different containers, and you don't know what the heck to do with all of your stuff. And you don't want to feel shamed if someone says, oh, no, don't put it in that one. You got to go somewhere else. But what do? We still want our statements. I still want my mail. I still want to get my newspaper delivered to the house. But we got to be careful about how we got to pick and choose our spot, right? Look, you can eliminate all that stuff, folks. You can get electronic statements, and it's a lot safer, especially if you're looking to protect your identity. You can sign up for electronic statements, electronic banking. You can get electronic billing. You can get electronic utility statements. You don't need to get anything in the mail these days. Frankly, as far as I'm concerned, when I look at my mail every day, and this is what happens when the mail comes to my house, and I usually have a lot of stuff in my mailbox, and I don't even open the stuff. I go, junk, 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 junk. Oh, maybe that's a bill. Junk, junk, junk. 90% of what I get is junk, and I don't even open up. If the stamp on the envelope is one of those bulk rate stamps that I know someone didn't put the stamp on it, you know it's just junk, right? I throw it all away. And I try to cut back, but the catalogs that keep coming in, man, that is insane. But anyways, to protect yourself, get electronic statements, but if you want the statements coming to you, get a shredder. The other thing that you might want to talk about, might want to be careful about, is entering yourself in sweepstakes. How many places do you go? You go, you can win a free trip to Hawaii, or a free trip to this, and a free trip to that. And they ask you for your name and your phone number and your address, and you go, oh, well, maybe I'll win. Every time you do that, you're exposing yourself to some potential identity fraud. Think about that. I mean, how many people are really going to win when there's that free trip to the Super Bowl, and it's a giant drum that's sitting in a mall somewhere, and you got to throw a card in, and then you realize it's not just the cards that are going in this drum, but there are cards that are going in every other drum at every other mall around this country, and one person will win. I will tell you, the person that is sponsoring that is happy to give somebody a free trip to the Super Bowl because they just got hundreds of thousands of data points, information about you that they can measure. Folks, you got to be real careful about what's being collected. But, I mean, hey, you want to fill out the cards, just understand what you're setting yourself up for. But don't cry to somebody if your identity's been stolen because you were stupid about it. That's part of the problem. We got to be careful with the information that we're sharing, but understand that if we choose to share the information, we're setting ourselves up for identity theft. All right, I've run out of time. I have a few other things here that I wanted to talk about, but the other one final thing here to tell you. Everybody wants free Wi-Fi, right? Everybody wants free Wi-Fi. You go to a hotel, you go to a 7-Eleven, you go to wherever. You go, oh, they got free Wi-Fi here. Go to the mall, whatever it is. The minute you sign up for that free Wi-Fi, congratulations. Somebody with very little hacking skills has just gained access, the ability to gain access to everything on your phone. If you don't want that, protect yourself. Go to Verizon, go to Sprint, go to AT&T, and get your own little protection mechanism so that you don't start going into those free Wi-Fi plans. You got to protect yourself, folks. It's your job to be diligent. It's buyer beware. And that, my friends, is financial advice in a language you can understand. And that's going to do it for me today. I want you to have a great weekend. I'll be back again next Sunday with more financial advice in a language you can understand. This was Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
Prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.